the Tech Sideline High Tech Studios in Blacksburg, Virginia, it's Thursday, April 11th, 2024, and this is TSL Today. We hope you enjoy our audio format of TSL Today as we focus on a quick and easy news update on everything Hokie sports for your commute home. I'm your host, Carter Hill, and today we got a Virginia Tech Diamond Sports Roundtable as we talk all things Tech baseball and softball with Raza Umarani and Sam Mostow. That's all coming up next on TSL Today. This episode of TSL Today is brought to you by The Hokie Way. The Hokie Way supports student-athletes in leveraging their name, image, and likeness to amplify the mission of charitable organizations as a way to give back to the community. Your contributions to The Hokie Way support Hokies NIL are tax-deductibles. Visit thehokieway.org to learn more. All right, and with that, let's welcome in our two honorary guests, Sam Mostow, our Virginia Tech softball beat writer, Raza Umarani, making his return debut to TSL Today, our Virginia Tech baseball beat writer as well. Guys, this is long overdue. We're going to do a softball baseball roundtable. So thrilled you could join us today. It should be a fun time.
Carter, it's great to be back up here with you. Sam, I'm very glad you can join us. This is your first time on the TSL set, so welcome. This is, you know, I think number three or four for me, so very happy to have you here and very happy to do this baseball, softball, diamond sports roundtable discussion. It should be fun.
Yeah, it's my first time here. It's going to be a lot of fun. I've been an avid listener for quite some time, so it's very exciting to be on the set.
Yeah, it's always a blessing to be up here with, I mean, the best podcast host in the world. I mean, or
guys,
well, at least the top.
I'm so sorry I had to run and turn our mics up real fast. So I think we should be good to go. But yeah, Sam, I'm thrilled you could join us. Your TSL Today debut. I know you've been listening, so I appreciate you hopping on, and should be fun to talk about some Tech softball and baseball. So with that, there is a lot going on in Virginia Tech athletics, and obviously, Kenny Brooks leaving, new women's basketball coach Megan Duffy coming in, takes away from some baseball softball, but it's time to catch up. So what's been going on the diamond between Tech baseball and softball?
Well, on the baseball side, Virginia Tech coming off of a midweek win against Liberty, a run-ruling midweek win, 13-3 against the Flames, in a very walk-heavy game for the Virginia Tech Hokies. A very strange game. David Cunningham was there covering it for us as I was home celebrating a religious holiday, but I think still the cloud over the program, despite that win, is the sweep this past weekend at home at the hands of Wake Forest. I repeatedly kind of dubbed that series as like the midterm exam for Virginia Tech, right? They were 10-2 in the ACC, first place in the Coastal going into that series, but had played some of the weaker teams in the ACC, specifically in the Atlantic Division. And you thought, okay, this is really where we see what is this Virginia Tech team made of. And what we got was a performance that was more, honestly, just poorer than we had seen all season long. Getting swept at home, starting pitching wasn't great, bullpen pitching wasn't great, the offense went extremely cold, hit just one home run across the three games in the series, rather. And that Friday game where Wake Forest, Chase Burns, who, guys, for my money, that's the number one pick in the draft. Chase Burns is incredible. 15 strikeouts on Friday night at a very cold English field. So Virginia Tech, that was, like I said, their midterm exam. That was a failure on their part. They failed the midterm exam, but the good news is there's still a second half of the season left, right? You got plenty of room to improve, and it starts this weekend against a decent Georgia Tech squad.
Well, and also, too, Wake Forest was the preseason number one team in the country.
Yeah, I don't want to – I think a lot of people maybe know that, but I don't want to overshadow that. That's right. This is a preseason number one team in the country, and like I said, Chase Burns could be the number one pick in the draft. Nick Kurtz could also be the number one pick in the draft. He hit five home runs across those three games, and then homered again in Wake Forest midweek game on Tuesday. That kid is absolutely sensational. That was kind of on the flip side. Yeah, Virginia Tech struggled, but Wake Forest is the preseason number one team in the country. That felt like the series that they figured it out.
Yes.
They had seen some struggles, especially in the ACC early in the season. They were third to last in the Atlantic coming into Blacksburg. Now they're sitting, I think, some more towards the upper part of the middle of the Atlantic Division, but they really figured it out this past weekend in Blacksburg, rather, and the Hokies kind of just got the short end of the stick in that trade-off. But like I said, plenty of room to improve, and it starts this weekend against Georgia Tech.
Virginia Tech is 22-8 overall, 10-5 in ACC play on the baseball side of things. Sam, on the softball side, Tech softball got off to a 9-0 start in league play. They got swept to Duke and took 2 out of 3 at NC State this past weekend. So what are the Hokies up to on the softball side of things?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. We're kind of seeing a little bit of what this Virginia Tech team can do. The Hokies got swept at Duke a couple weekends ago, and then dropped the first game at NC State. The Bats, which are currently the second in the country with 81 home runs this season behind just Miami of Ohio, dropped 4 straight games because the offense just wasn't working enough, and playing some very good pitchers in Duke. Duke's a very good team. Softball America ranks them the number one team in the country. But it was interesting seeing how they were playing against such great conference talent in Duke when the rest of their conference schedule isn't necessarily as challenging, as especially as Duke. Virginia Tech's avoiding Florida State. It's avoiding Clemson this season. So it's interesting seeing how they match up with against the upper echelon teams in the conference.
It's exciting. Virginia Tech is currently tied for third in the ACC with Clemson at 11-4. And really focusing on the softball side of things continuously, and me and Pete DeMore have touched on it on the Pete DeMore podcast a couple of times so far this season, but I think Corey McMillan, the transfer from Radford, has been a huge piece to this Tech team this season.
I mean, she's been great. She's hitting 386 this season. That's just unheard of. It's not unheard of, but especially for a transfer like she is, behind just Emma Ritter and Addie Green on the team. McMillan spent 2 seasons at Radford. She's a junior. One of the top freshmen in the country at Radford. And I remember going into the season, Pete DeMore was talking at Media Day about how when Radford came and played Virginia Tech last spring, McMillan hit a first inning home run.
Yeah.
And Pete DeMore was standing on third base and was like, yeah, she's pretty good. And she's just been such a pivotal part to the team.
Yeah, and Raza, now shifting back to the baseball things, I know we're going back and forth here, but it keeps us in check, right?
This is a roundtable discussion.
It's a roundtable discussion, so we appreciate y'all tuning in. I think the baseball side of things has been about the transfers as well. And on the offensive side, Ben Watson obviously has been incredible, and then Eddie Micheletti has been fantastic as well.
Ben Watson is just such an interesting story. To transfer from Division III to Division I, and then not just Division I, but to the Power 5, and then not just to the Power 5, but the ACC, and lead a team that is top 20 nationally in batting average, kind of going back to back there. he leads the team with a .388 batting average.
2 homers, 28 ribbies too?
That is incredible. And until Henry Cook doubled, I believe, in the bottom of the ninth in the Sunday loss against Wake Forest, until that hit, Ben Watson was the only player with multiple hits in a game against Wake Forest's stellar pitching. And this is a guy who was playing in Division III last year. Now, granted, he hit everything he saw in Division III. He's hit everything he's seen over the course of his career, both collegiately and in summer ball. But he has been excellent. He's just such a solid bat-to-ball hitter, Carter. That is, he's C-ball, hit ball. He doesn't hit for power terribly often, but he's always good for a double every now and then. He's able to find the right gaps in the infield. He's just really good at putting contact on the ball. Somebody who is good at putting the ball in air, though, is Eddie Micheletti. Yeah. I mean, the highlight was that grand slam off of Chase Burns in the Friday game against Wake Forest to put Tech up 5-3. That was one of the few leads that they had in that series, and unfortunately they relinquished it at the top of the next inning. But Eddie Micheletti, when I spoke to him after that grand slam, this is a guy who has 10 home runs now this season. He had 6 all of last year at UW, right? And we're only a little bit more than halfway through the season. So I asked him, I said, was this something that you wanted to do going into this year? And he said, yeah, like I was a very good contact guy before, but I made it an emphasis when I got here and I talked to our hitting coach, Kurt Elbin. I want to put the ball in the air more. And he's done that really successfully. But Carter, we talked about it off the air. In my opinion, the most striking stat about Eddie Micheletti, 29 walks, 16 strikeouts. And this is a team that's coming off a series where they struck out 38 times. Eddie Micheletti was not one of the people that struck out a great deal. And so he's seeing the ball extremely well in the box. He's hitting the ball well, and he's hitting the ball for power better than many other players in this lineup.
.323 so far on the season, 10 homers, 30 RBIs. Sticking with the baseball side, let's flip to pitching for Virginia Tech. And a guy we really want to talk about, we were talking about it in the pre-production, is Jordan Little.
Yeah.
Kind of came out of nowhere. Psycho on Psychos. The mound, if you will, is the closer for Virginia Tech.
So psychopath was the word I got when I asked Jordan Vera, fellow transfer from Ole Miss, about Jordan Little. He is a really interesting character, Carter. I mean, this is a guy who, if you talk to him before the game, after the game, even in the dugout or in the bullpen or in the pitching lab, he is such a nice guy. He really is. He's always got a smile on his face. He's a really, really good dude. And as soon as he takes the mound, it's a completely different story. I mean, it is truly something to behold. He is a very emotional, fiery, passionate player. He's the type of closer you'd see in a movie or a TV show. I mean, like, he's like a Kenny Powers type of closer. It's really, really great. But it's one thing to have that, to play with that type of emotion. It's another thing to deliver in big moments. And in the last couple of weeks, Jordan Little has emerged as Tech's closer. I mean, there was the Friday doubleheader against Boston College because the game got rained out on Saturday, so they played two on Friday. He recorded saves in both of those games.
Yeah.
Two saves in one day is not easy. It is not easy at all. Then he records a save that Tuesday against Marshall. Then he records another save the following Sunday against Pitt. So there's four saves in 9 or 10 days. That's just, I mean, that's like big, really to ask for any closer, especially at the collegiate level. So it's not just the fact that he's provided some flair and some theatrics out of the bullpen, but he has also provided a huge lift at the back end of the bullpen where Tech had struggled a little bit to find a closer to fill that role early in the season.
Transfer from East Carolina.
That's right.
Great program out of the American. I think he only made maybe 2-3 appearances last year. He was banged up last season with the Pirates.
I want to say, Carter, and I haven't checked this number since before the season started, but I want to say 6 2/3 innings pitched.
Yeah, he did not pitch in his career
at East Carolina. Crazy. And not to go on a tangent here, but I talked to him a couple of weeks ago, and he said that, like, you know, I didn't play that much at my former school, so not a lot of people have seen what I can do. So that adds another level of kind of what makes him so effective. Now, he did have a bit of a rough outing, his first rough outing in a while when he was put in this past weekend against Wake Forest. But that appears to be the common theme across the lineup and the pitching staff. The Wake Forest series was a little bit of a struggle. But Jordan Little, across the big picture of this season, specifically in these last few ACC series, has really, really been money for Virginia Tech.
And Sam, obviously for Tech softball, yes, they can hit the long ball. But we can't forget about the pitching staff. Four legit options for Virginia Tech. Now, the Hokies have really rolled with their top three recently, but they're a huge reason why the Hokies are in the position they're in.
Definitely. I mean, Pete DeMore said it going into this season. You used to be able to have just one ace, and Virginia Tech had that for a long time with Keely Rashard, go even further back with Angela Tincher. But now, with just the way that hitters have improved, you just need so much more than that. You just need many viable arms that are different. And because when it was just Emma Lemley and Lindsey Grine last year, they were both rise ball pitchers and they were both very similar, and the other team could prepare for that. And as DeMore said, no matter how hard they throw, you can prepare for the rise ball and just get on that. And now they have more than that with options. They have two lefties in the bullpen, Emma Mazzarone and Cassie Grizzard. And who's really impressed me this season has been Lindsey Grine. She has a team high 2.67 ERA. She's gone like perfect deep into games. She hasn't had a no hitter so far this season, but she's been in positions where there's been four or five innings without a hit or a base runner allowed, and she's just been dominant every time she steps on the mound. She's just in control every time.
We were talking about injuries earlier, and this has been a big part of Tech softball and baseball seasons, but they've gotten past it. Rachel Castine on the softball side, Garrett Michelle on the baseball side. Sam, the Hokies have navigated without arguably their best bat in the lineup, and they've done it nicely in the 9-hole, or the 6-hole, I should say.
Yeah, I mean, Rachel Castine, she played 9 games. She had 5 home runs in 9 games and then went down with a broken wrist. We haven't seen her since. And Virginia Tech has really responded very well without her. At the shortstop spot where Castine played, Annika Rose and I believe Trinity Martin, sorry, and Tegan Thrunk have kind of tag teamed to fill that void. And if Castine comes back this year, that'll be a big hole in the lineup that has been filled by both Rose and Thrunk, but they've both done very well, but Castine's bat has just been dominant early on in the season.
Garrett Michaud obviously was one of the anchors in this Tech lineup, but to not have him, and I know they got swept by Wake, but for the Hokies to have done what they've done is pretty impressive.
Well, Carter, we mentioned it the last time that I was on here because it was right after the Garrett Michaud injury had happened.
Yeah.
And we were talking about, man, is it going to be Ethan Gibson playing at first base, which he has a little bit? Is it going to be Sam Tackett, which he did for a little bit and then kind of shied away? The one possibility I mentioned to you was that when Garrett Michaud got hurt in that game against Stony Brook, the person who played the rest of the game at first base was
Garrett Gebel,
and who has emerged as the everyday first baseman pretty much. I mean, he'll start behind the dish for 1 to 2 games in a series perhaps, but Garrett Gebel has filled that role at first base, and might I say, he has done it excellently. Now, his bat speaks for itself, but his defense has really, really been underrated. I mean, he's laid out for diving catches and foul ground. He's had really good picks off the turf on the infield. He has played exceptionally well at first base defensively, and of course, offensively, his bat, like I said, needs no introduction. He's been playing really, really well defensively, offensively, and of course he's done it well behind the dish too. Now, Ethan Gibson has seen some action at first base. He started there yesterday against Liberty. He's gotten some games there in the ACC. His defense is also very solid, and John Sheff loves Ethan Gibson's defense. He's a very versatile player. He was actually a two-way player out of high school, but he hurt his arm, so he doesn't pitch anymore. But the problem is, like it is for many freshmen, the bat just takes a little while to get going in ACC play. So that's where Garrett Gebel kind of gives you the best of both worlds. So they've really filled the role of Garrett Michaud extremely well. And this is a team that's still fifth in slugging percentage nationally.
The positioning for both squads honestly kind of feels pretty similar. Virginia Tech on the baseball side, currently second in the ACC Coastal behind North Carolina. Tech is 10-5. Carolina is 11-4. On the softball side of things, we mentioned it, tied with Clemson for third, but it feels like both teams are on, at this point, the fringe of hosting a regional. What are the possibilities that that happens, Raza?
So it seemed like a very real possibility. And then when the Wake series happened, it was like, man, that's like a really big, you know, tough hit to take. But it's three games out of many, many more than three games in an ACC schedule. Many publications before the Wake Forest series had Virginia Tech, like you said, on the fringe of hosting a regional, pretty much a unanimous number two seed in the ACC, in the NCAA tournament, rather. Today, that is unchanged. Pretty much still a unanimous number two seed. Now, the problem is you need to do a little bit more to kind of get back on track to get towards being one of those top 16 teams that gets to host a regional. But Virginia Tech has so much left in front of them. This is a team that still has to play the likes of Miami, North Carolina, Duke, and Virginia. Those are four excellent, excellent teams. So, yes, the first test, I don't like using that word. The first, you know, maybe elite test came and went, and Tech might not have performed the way it wanted to, but you have a lot of ground left where you can really make up some of your shortcomings from that series. So I think that if Tech, you know, if they win even two out of those four series I mentioned, you're in a great spot. If you win three out of those four series, Carter, with two of them being on the road,
you gotta be hosting, right?
At North Carolina and at Virginia, especially because that Virginia season series ends the season. You just got to be hosting because you would be first place in the Coastal. You compete for an ACC championship in a ridiculously stacked ACC.
Duke is currently a top 10 team in the country.
That's right.
They come to Blacksburg next weekend, after this weekend.
Yes.
Miami has been solid in the league after a slower start. Virginia has flirted with the top 10, and Carolina is arguably the best team in the league right now, at least up there, per se.
The Carolina series next, it is, you know, with three-ish weeks left in the season, but when the Hokies go to Chapel Hill, that is kind of the battle for the ACC Coastal.
Sure.
It's, you know, been Carolina, Virginia's, and Virginia's excellent, don't get me wrong, but that is kind of going to be the case because Carolina and Virginia Tech have been the two teams at the top of the Coastal. But even outside of those, you know, UNC is number four in the RPI, you know. UVA is 12. Wake Forest now is 13. And Duke is up to 20. So maybe their metrics aren't as good, but they are, like you said, a top 10 team that should never be overlooked.
Carolina and Clemson have been the two best teams in the league pretty much throughout the year. What do you think, Sam, about the softball side of things with the Hokies positioning?
The softball side is a little bit different from the baseball side in that their strength of schedule with Virginia Tech softball was very front-loaded. In the first couple weeks of the season, you saw Virginia Tech play at Auburn, at Georgia, and at Alabama, getting at least one win in all of those places. Virginia Tech is not playing the hardest ACC schedule. The Hokies are avoiding Florida State, avoiding Clemson, and a bunch of the other really challenging teams. And the one team Virginia Tech has played in the ACC that's in those high standings was Duke, and Virginia Tech got swept.
Yes.
So I'm not sure Virginia Tech needs to win out in order to be one of those top 16 seeds to host a regional. I do think it needs to be pretty close to winning out, and at the very least making a fairly deep ACC tournament run, because those RPI metrics, they're probably going to go down just because Virginia Tech's not playing super strong teams. Playing Boston College, Virginia Tech hasn't lost to Boston College since 2015. All time, Virginia Tech is 42-8 against the Eagles. Pizza Moore has never lost to Boston College. We'll see how this weekend goes. And then they play Georgia Tech, and then I believe Syracuse the weekend after. These are not the top teams in the ACC. Virginia Tech needs to beat the teams it's supposed to beat and then hope the rest takes care of itself, especially through the ACC tournament.
Georgia Tech is having a decent year. They're currently 26-16, 9-6 in the ACC. As are Virginia. The Hokies play the Cavaliers twice in two non-conference games, which is pretty bizarre when you think about things. One in Charlottesville next week, and then I believe in Blacksburg the following week?
Yes, because the ACC didn't schedule those games. They technically don't count in the conference standings.
So Raza, you feel okay about the Hokies being able to host if they can take care of business.
It's all about, you know, handling what's in front of you.
Correct. Softball is a little bit more of an uphill climb, and particularly when you play schools like Maryland Eastern Shore, which can, sure, you win 25-0, but it dips down your RPI pretty significantly.
Sure, but also Virginia Tech did beat Liberty, who is, last I checked, first place in the Conference USA standings. They're playing very good teams in the non-conference. That was just a lot earlier this season. Similar to baseball, Virginia Tech needs to take care of business on the softball end. The challenge for them, especially from a numbers and metric standpoint, is that taking care of business means beating a lot of teams that are at least statistically not as good as Virginia Tech.
Man, Sam, it's like the net all over again. The whole season, what you're talking about. Man, how many quad one wins is Virginia Tech going to have? That's what this is, essentially,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, pretty
if you
much.
Want to make that comparison.
I mean, Virginia Tech's 24th in the RPI, the rankings power index, I believe.
Yep. And top 16 host.
Yes.
Just not
in the RPI, in the NCAA selection rankings.
Correct.
But they factor in the RPI heavily. And Virginia Tech was as high as, I believe, fifth earlier this season, after non-conference games against three different SEC schools. You win and tie against Auburn. You win. Win one, lose one at Georgia. Win one, lose one at Alabama. Those are teams that will bolster your RPI. Games against Boston College and maybe Georgia Tech will help a little bit, but games against Boston College and Syracuse probably will not help your computer metrics.
All right, Raz, the Hokies on the baseball side go to Atlanta. They got Georgia Tech this weekend. Probably feel pretty comfortable saying that's a series the Hokies got to have.
They definitely have to have it, but it's not going to be easy for a multitude of reasons. Let's get the obvious out of the way. It's hard to win a road series in the ACC.
Oh,
it's hard
sure.
to win a road series anywhere. And it's a long road trip. That certainly doesn't help, right? But Tech drove all the way up to Boston College earlier this year and walked away with three victories. And Boston College is a solid team. So anything is possible on that front. Georgia Tech, very interesting team, obviously spearheaded by sensational freshman Drew Burris, who is near the top of the ACC in so many different regards: home runs, slugging percentage, batting average, RBI. So that is one player that Tech certainly is going in need to pinpoint, similar to a Nick Kurtz from a week ago. Also, Carter, Georgia Tech plays at a grass field, dirt infield. That'll be Tech's first time playing on dirt this year.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So do with that what you will. It's not their first time on grass, because they were at Charlotte earlier this year with a grass outfield but a turf infield.
Okay.
So they're playing on dirt for the first time this season. So a little there might be an adjustment period if that makes sense. I don't think that's going to be the series decider is the fact that they're playing on dirt. At least, you know, I'm going to knock on wood and say I hope that's not the case. But just something to monitor. I do think Tech is the better overall team in the series. I think they're going to have a bit of a chip on their shoulder after getting swept. They want to prove, hey, that was an anomaly. That was an aberration. Let's get back to the way we were when we were 10-2 in the ACC and prove that we are real contenders in this league. So I would say I do need to do a little bit more research and prep. Obviously, I just got home, yep, as you well know, so I still have to publish my preview piece. But I do think that Tech is the better team in the series, and they should, if they take care of business, walk away with another ACC series victory.
That's an interesting find there, Mr. Marano.
Yeah.
That was a very interesting find. Hokies coming off of a 13-3 victory over Liberty in the midweek. And what about you, Sam? What's coming up this weekend for the Hokies? They got Boston College at home. What are your thoughts there?
I mean, they've got Boston College at home. First home, they've been on the road for three weekend series in a row. And I'm not entirely sure how it's going to go. I, as well, have to do a little bit of prep before this game. But again, Virginia Tech hasn't lost to Boston College since May 2nd, 2015. Again, 42-8 all time against Boston College. Boston College is a team right now. It's eighth in the ACC. This should be a series win for Virginia Tech. Obviously, no guarantees in any of this. But Virginia Tech should have... a good shot at taking two out of three,
and
at least.
And with the spring game this weekend, it should be an awesome crowd on Saturday at Tech Softball.
Absolutely. Softball starts at 2, spring game starts at 3. It'll make for some good crowds.
And we'll see with the weather tomorrow, Friday, I should say. Maybe a doubleheader Saturday.
Who knows? Maybe a doubleheader.
We'll see. Keep posted to Hokiesports.com. Obviously, the spring game this weekend, plenty of content on TechSideline.com, but what is coming up on the baseball and the softball side this week?
I've got you covered every single game for this upcoming Georgia Tech series. Sometimes in the past when the Hokies have been on the road, I'll just write a series recap, but I do enjoy diving into each game individually. Just mm-hmm. it gives us a bit of freedom. So you can check David Cunningham's recap of the midweek Liberty win for Virginia Tech. That's up on TechSideline.com, but you'll have a Georgia Tech preview up on Friday morning to get you ready for the weekend in Atlanta, and you'll have a recap coming for every game of this series that the Hokies are down playing the Yellow Jackets.
I'll be at Tech Softball Park Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, or whenever they decide to play some softball this weekend. Also spent a little while today talking with Josh Johnson, the assistant pitching coach. The assistant coach who's been focusing mostly on the pitchers. So I should have a profile out on TechSideline.com in the next week or so.
Nice.
Well, Sam, you know, it's funny you mentioned that. We just have, it's both of you, we have no idea what the weather's going to look like this week. I mean, we are currently in the midst of peak spring Blacksburg weather. Just, it's like rain and wind and
double rainbow.
Double rainbow on my way into town today. This is just ridiculous. I turn on my phone and it says we're on a tornado watch.
Stormy clouds, the wind, the rain. It's like 55 degrees outside.
It makes no sense.
It's 40s tomorrow.
Is it really?
Yeah, we love that Blacksburg weather. Nothing says softball weather like 48 degrees and
windy.
Saturday is supposed to be tremendous, though.
That's
tremendous
great.
Day on Saturday.
That's great.
Excellent.
Great spring game weather. Great doing the run for remembrance.
Yes. Good. Important to know that, too. Baseball side of things, 6:00 on Friday, 4:00 on Saturday, and 1:00 on Sunday in Atlanta. All three are on the ACC Network Extra, or you can listen to Giovanni Heater, who is filling in down there for Evan Hughes.
I would recommend doing that.
Yes, very good.
That's what I'll be doing.
On the softball side, Friday at 6 p.m., Saturday at 2 p.m., and Sunday at noon. The first two on the Extra, the Sunday game, is on the ACC Network. Gentlemen, this has been a thrill. We'll have to do it again sometime soon, so I appreciate it.
Absolutely, Carter. Thank you for having me back on. And Sam, you're the best, man.
Have me back anytime. This is great. Thank you.
That's Razu Marani. That's Sam Mostow. And I am Carter Hill. That has been your Thursday installment of TSL Today.